Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last Monday talking about living in the balance of grace and faith, and I'm going to be continuing that again today. You know, before I get right into the teaching, let me explain something about that. We have a new introduction to our program, and I'm sure some of you have noticed the difference, but we have a dandelion and these little dandelion seeds blowing everywhere. That is significant for us. It doesn't mean much to most people, but back in the beginning of my ministry, when I started giving away tapes, one of my very first employees was a woman who had run three businesses before, very profitable businesses, and she came in and was helping me with our ministry, and she just could not get over the fact that I gave away tapes. And she specifically knew that people were abusing the situation and recording over them, and she tried constantly to get me to sell my tapes instead of make them available for free. And we just butted heads on this, and I told her I wasn't going to change. And she was a lady that ran a lot, and one day she was out running. And as she ran, it was like there was a whole wall of these dandelion seeds just blowing in the wind. She could, when she ran through it, you know, I mean, it just was like there was a solid wall. There was just dandelion seeds everywhere. She looked, and on the pavement, she was running on a road, there were just these seeds laying there. And as soon as she saw this, she says, "That's just like Andrew's tapes. They're just going to waste. These are never going to grow." And she immediately was saying, "God, that's just like Andrew's tapes. Look how many of them are just, going to waste." And as soon as she said that, the Lord said, "But look out on the field." And she looked, and there were dandelions everywhere. And she was so excited, she didn't even run home. She ran straight over to the office and shared this. And she says, "I finally understand. Even though people are taking advantage of it, you know what? There is still, this is allowing your message to go places it had never go, and it's just going to expand." So she came on board. So that was always significant to me. And then many years later, probably 15 years later, there was a man who commissioned a woman in his church just to do something for us, to thank us for the things that we had done ministering in his church. And he just left it up to this woman to draw something of her own free will. And so this woman painted a dandelion, a group of dandelions. And you know what? I mean, that was so weird. Matter of fact, the guy who commissioned her to do it thought, "What does this have to do with anything? Who would paint a picture of dandelions?" But that's what she felt impressed to do. And when she gave that to us and had that scripture on there, immediately I saw the significance because of this. And so this is kind of an in-house thing that I'm now making public, but this little introduction, that's what it's all about, is that through our free tape and CD, DVD book ministry, the teaching has gone around the world. It's gone places it would have never gone. So anyway, there is some significance to that new introduction. Now, I've been talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. We used Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that says you're saved by grace through faith, not grace alone and not faith alone. You've got to have faith in what God has already done for you. And if you try and emphasize just what you must do, then you become legalistic. You become to where you are bearing the burden of salvation, and it's frustrating, and it leads to condemnation and guilt and failure. But on the other hand, if you just emphasize grace and say, "Well, it's just all up to God. It has nothing to do with me." I've used scriptures out of 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10, where Paul said that the grace that was bestowed upon him wasn't in vain, but he labored more abundantly than them all. You have to put faith in what God has done for you. God is good towards every single person. You know, regardless of where you're watching this program, anywhere in the world, I know God is good to you. And some of you may look at your situation and say, "No, He's not. I've got this problem and that problem." No, God is good to you. God's grace is the same to you as it is to me or towards anybody else. Now, you may not have responded to God's grace the same as I have or somebody else, but God has a perfect plan for you. And He is willing to release all of these good things to heal your body, to prosper you, to deliver you, to take away your sins. God loves you, and I know God is good towards every one of you. Whether you are experiencing it or not has nothing to do with God's grace. It has something to do with your response to God's grace, or lack of response, which is what we call faith and unbelief. And so this is what we're talking about, is how you've got to figure out what is God's part, that's grace, and what is your part, and that's faith. And that's what we've been talking about. So let me first of all just emphasize or illustrate, talk about the abuse of people that have just gone to everything is totally up to God's grace, and they de-emphasize the personal accountability of us as individuals. And I could talk about this for a very long period of time, but let me just attack it by talking against what I call the extreme sovereignty of God doctrine. And, you know, in a sense, I hate to even say this, because this is so entrenched in the body of Christ that the moment I mention this, I'm sure that many people just switched the station, turned it off. They aren't even going to listen to this, because this is something that some people have embraced without questioning it. They've just swallowed it without tasting it. And they believe that, man, God is sovereign. Well, you know what? I believe God is sovereign if you use the dictionary definition of sovereign. Let me give this to you out of the dictionary. When you use it as a noun, which is not the way we're talking about God, but it says the chief of state in a monarchy, or the second definition is a former British gold coin worth 1 pound. That's not the way that we're using the word sovereign. But when you use it as an adjective to describe a person, place, or thing, it means paramount or supreme. If you want to say that God is paramount or supreme, I'm in total agreement with that. Zero objection to that. God is paramount and supreme. The second definition is having supreme rank or power. I agree that God has supreme rank or power. No criticism. The third definition means independent, like a sovereign state. The United States is a sovereign state. At one time, it was a colony of Great Britain, but it broke away, and now we are a sovereign state. We are independent. If you want to say that God is independent, that nobody is dictating to Him, nobody controls Him, I agree with that. The fourth definition as an adjective means excellent. If you want to say that God is excellent, I agree with that. So I really have no criticism if you want to use sovereign the way it's defined in the dictionary. But there is a religious connotation that goes with sovereign that I disagree with everything that I've got in me. Religion has defined sovereign as meaning that God controls everything, that nothing happens without His either directly causing it or permitting it. And I know that there's many of you watching this program right now that are just appalled. Like, well, that's true. No, it's not. That is not what the Word of God teaches. And some people say, well, man, there's so many times that it talks about the sovereign Lord. You know, I'm not here to try and criticize anybody or any translation, but I really disagree with the NIV translation that over, I don't know how many hundreds of times they took the phrase that was in the King James and in nearly every other translation about the Lord God or the Lord God Almighty, and they changed that to say sovereign Lord. And again, I wouldn't have a problem with that if you use sovereign the way that it's defined in the dictionary. But sovereign has become a religious term that when people say sovereign Lord, they apply it to God as being responsible for these tragedies that are happening. And I'm telling you, this is not what the Word of God teaches. I'm not going to be able to say everything I want to say about this on today's program, so I'm going to be dealing with this for a number of days. I encourage you to listen in and get the whole thing, or to get the materials that we're offering. But I'm going to show you through a number of scriptures that God does not control everything that happens. And first of all, let me just use some logic on you here, that if you would take this teaching about sovereignty and just follow it to its logical conclusion, nobody that is honest and sincere could truly embrace the sovereignty of God the way that it's taught, because it is just absolutely wrong. First of all, if you say that God is sovereign, that He either directly causes everything or He allows the devil to do it, but whatever, everything has to pass through His desk. He has to stamp approved on it. Nothing happens but what God allows it. Then you have to blame God for terrible, terrible things, that there isn't a civilized nation on the face of the earth that wouldn't prosecute me if I was guilty of everything that they are saying that God is guilty of. If I was the one that caused all babies to be born deformed with some kind of deformity or retardation, if I was the one that caused all divorces and all heartache, and if I was the one that called rape and murder and all of the atrocities that we've seen through Hitler and Hussein and all of these people, if I was the one that caused all of those kind of things, nobody would want to be around me. You wouldn't want to be my friend. If you believe that God is one that's causing all of the heartache and heartbreak and that somehow or another it's working together for good, then you know what? You have a view of God that at the very best is going to keep you at arm's length. You aren't going to get real close to a God that you think is the one that caused all of these tragedies in your life. And one of the worst things about that doctrine is James chapter 4, verse 7, where it says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Let me ask you this. If God controls everything, and if nothing happens without his permission, what is the point of resisting anything? Because ultimately it's God's will. Why would you fight against anything? Why would you do anything? Because after all, it's God. Now pay attention here, because I'm going to say some things that if you will be honest and follow my logic, you would have to reject this extreme teaching on the sovereignty of God. If God is the one who made you sick, if God put cancer on you because you hadn't been seeking him and he needed to knock you flat of your back, if God makes you quadriplegic so that you could turn to him and all of a sudden have a relationship with him, well, then why would you go to the doctor and try and get surgery or take chemotherapy and try and reduce the problem? If God gave this problem to you to work some redemptive purpose and to somehow or another make you better, then if you followed your own logic, you are rebelling against God trying to get well. Why would you go take treatment? Why would you take a painkiller? Why would you pray and ask God to reverse something that he did to humble you and to break you? You know, if you are going to be consistent in this doctrine, at the very least, you ought to not take any medication. You ought not to go to the doctor. You shouldn't pray for it to get better. You ought to let what God has caused in your life run its full course so that you could get the full benefit of it. Amen. I can hear people all around the world saying, "No, this is terrible. How dare you say that?" I am not advocating that you do that. I am not telling you to become passive, but I'm saying that would be consistent with this belief that God causes everything. If God really caused it, why are you paying so much money and going to so much effort to get out of God's will? See, that's inconsistent. That's wrong. I actually heard a woman one time that was on a major television program. I won't call the broadcaster's name because most of you would know him. And he interviewed a woman who her and her daughter were abducted at gunpoint, taken out to a remote location. He raped both of them, then laid them on their face and shot both of them in the back of the head, tried to kill them. It killed the daughter. The mother lived through it and she had some physical problems. And anyway, she was on this Christian television station saying that God had a purpose and that God in his wisdom, you know, nothing can happen without God's will. And she didn't know exactly why God did it, but and then she went on to try and somehow or another bring some good out of it. And you know what that was saying? That was saying that God caused, God inspired a man, or if you want to, it's a variation, but it's really the same thing. God either inspired this man to rape and to murder the girl and try and kill the woman, or God allowed the devil to do it because he thought that it would be good. It would work some good thing. That is perverse. I'm telling you, this is wrong. In my estimation, which is the only estimation I've got, I think that this is the worst doctrine in the body of Christ. And what it is an extreme of grace. That God just, it's all up to God. You have nothing to do with anything. God controls everything. And it's just, once you start getting to an extreme, once you forget that we have a part to play And mankind is the one that loosed the devil into this world and loosed murder. And it says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Satan is the one that had the power of death, not God. God doesn't kill every person. Man, I go to these funerals and people just automatically default and say, well, it must have been their time. Their number was up. And they just assume that people can't die without God's approval. God's not the one that's in charge of death. It says in Hebrews chapter 2 that Satan was the one who had the power of death. God gave us the authority to rule this earth. We turned it over to Satan. And all of the rape and murder and the plunder and the division and the divorce and the hatred and all of this stuff, God isn't causing that. God is not the one who's messing up your life. There are many of you watching this program right now that you're bitter and you're angry at the, you know, there, people respond differently. Some people just like, if that's God, I don't want anything to do with Him. You know, I won't call this man's name, but every one of you have been influenced by him. He's one of the largest television moguls in the world, not only in the United States, but his television networks are around the world. And this man, when he was young, his daughter, I mean, not daughter, but sister, who he was very close to as a young boy, she got sick of something and died. And the church that they went to came and said, well, it must be God's will. God is sovereign. God controls all of these things. God wanted her in heaven more than you wanted her. And they blamed God for killing this man's sister. And this man said right then that if there is a God, I hate him. And today he calls himself either an atheist or an agnostic. He kind of goes back and forth. But by his own profession, I've heard him interviewed. He said he is against Christianity. He is out to change the Judeo-Christian ethics of this nation. And you know what? He's been more successful than he should have. And you've watched his programs. You've watched his network. And you know what? It's because somebody misrepresented God that turned this man against God. And therefore, he has influenced millions and millions of people to become less moral, more anti-God because of this teaching that God is sovereign and controls everything. That is not true. God is not the one bringing all of the bad things into your life. And I can just hear some of you right now saying, well, what about this scripture? You know, I'm going to take a few scriptures here that have been misused and misapplied and use this to teach just the opposite of what has been said about this. You cannot defend this position that I'm speaking against from Scripture. Now, you can go to Scriptures that have been taught wrong so often that people just automatically think about, well, God is sovereign because it's like propaganda. You say something so many times over and over, after a while, people lose track of what the truth is and they believe the propaganda. It's like going down an old dirt road that when it gets muddy, you make these ruts that are so deep that when it's dry, you try and drive down there and you can't avoid it. You'll fall into one of those ruts. You just can't miss it. That they're so deep. They're so prevalent. Well, this is such a entrenched doctrine. It's been said so many millions and billions of times that many of you just take these verses and interpret them based on the propaganda that Satan has put forth through religion. James chapter 1, he says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now those verses, if you were just to take those three verses by themselves without being prejudiced, without already having a mindset facilitates this wrong conclusion. If you were just to read that, there is nothing in there that is bad. This is just saying that, man, rejoice when you're in the midst of trouble because you are going to exercise your faith and you're going to be stronger because of it. I don't have any problem with that. But what has happened, people have taken these verses and said, so if you are praying for patience, you are really praying for problems because God is the one who puts problems on you to make you better. And it is only if you suffer and it's only if you go through these tribulations that you're going to be strong. And so if you want to be strong, God is going to send you trouble. These verses don't say that. As a matter of fact, if you just, for time's sake, I'm about out of time today. Let me drop down and read a couple of other verses in context. This is in the same chapter. It says in verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Again, people will take that verse and say, see, God is going to put temptation, trials, tribulations on you because it's going to make you better. The next verse says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." In the very context, don't let any of you say that God is the one that's putting these tribulations, troubles, trials upon you to make you better. This is exactly what religion is teaching. And the thing that is so deadly about this is that if you embrace your problems, you have just totally done the opposite of James 4:7 that says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The word resist means to actively fight against. You aren't resisting the devil when you say, oh, Father, thank you for giving me cancer. I know I'm bound to have something. I'm going to learn through this. I'm making friends with my cancer. You know, there's a commercial on the radio that I've heard of some woman talking to cancer, writing a letter to cancer, dear cancer, and talking about how she's embraced it and learned to live with it. And I just want to throw up or throw something every time I hear that. You aren't supposed to make friends with cancer. You aren't supposed to like defeat and hurt and pain. No, this isn't God. And the Bible says you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You aren't resisting if you are embracing it. You know, when I got drafted, they taught me how to throw hand grenades, how to shoot a weapon, how to fight. I was technically trained to kill a person with my bare hands. They gave me this training. But you know, when you first go to the battle, a person that's just green and straight out of basic training is dangerous. Man, if I had time, I'm about out of time, I could give you some examples of some strange things that happened by green soldiers that came to Vietnam. And so it was true that even though you were taught something, you don't really become a good soldier until you put that training into practice and you gain experience, and that experience makes you a better soldier. So it is true that going into battle will take a green soldier and make him a better soldier. But if that soldier was to say, oh, so therefore the enemy is not really my enemy, they're my friend, they're going to make me a better soldier. So when they see the enemy coming, you go out there and want to run and hug them. You know what? You're going to die. No, they are the enemy. Your government that sent you doesn't want you to embrace them. They are not your friend. They are trying to kill you. But there is a truth that if you will use what you've got, you will become a better soldier for the experience. Likewise, if we take the faith and the things that God has done in our heart, and if we use it in the midst of life's hardships that come our way, you'll be better because of it. But don't let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. And it goes on to say in verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Do not blame God for all of your problems. God does not sovereignly control everything that happens in your life. Man, I'm out of time and I'm just getting ready to preach. So please listen in tomorrow. Listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get all of these materials that I have on living in the balance of grace and faith.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the CD album titled Grace and the Sovereignty of God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA23C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you have borne witness with what I was saying today, and you can see the importance of getting this word out to as many people as possible. I tell you, we've got to share the truth. That's what sets people free. And I'd like to ask those of you who are in agreement and who've been blessed by this to do more than just say amen with your words. But if you could become a partner with us, a regular partner, we are seeking to reach as far as we possibly can with the gospel, and we need people to help us. So I'd ask you to pray about it. We have a number on your screen. I'd like to ask you to call. We have different partnership levels, things that you can get back for your monthly partnership. But pray about it and then do as God speaks. And if He tells you so, well, then become a partner today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
When you come under this religious teaching that God controls everything, an extreme error in the sovereignty of God, then you open yourself up. Satan comes in, steal, kill, and destroy, and I guarantee you it is going to cause hurt and pain and tragedy in your life. It's going to turn other people against the Lord. I know that there's people all around the world incensed at me right now because this is, in my estimation, the most entrenched doctrine in the body of Christ. It's an easy doctrine to embrace because, you know what? It's a cop-out.